Good morning, New Life Church. How many of you guys ready for this second part of Under the Covers? Yeah? All right. Well, I'm excited too. We're going to hopefully finish this. And let's start with some scriptures. If we can go to the scriptures and get to reading. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me." I want you to focus on those words. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous one will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and gave you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Amen.
I thought we were talking about marriage.
We are talking about marriage. I want to read one more scripture. That's 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Whoa. For if we don't love people we can see with our eyes, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. Those who love God must also love their spouses. Would you agree?
Uh-huh.
If your brother is hungry, give him food. If your brother is naked, doesn't have any clothes, give him clothes. Right?
Don't just say, "I love you, brother." I love your brother.
If your wife is hungry, or if your spouse, your husband is hungry, you see where I'm going with this? And we all have some hungers, that natural hungers. Let's just read one more scripture, guys, so we can set this message up, because the Word of God is very important. It will prove to you today of what we're talking about. James 2:15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well." But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless faith. Amen. Today we're talking about marriage. And all those scriptures have something in common. They have in common that if there is a practical need in a brother or sister in Christ, that is our job to meet that need. We cannot say that I love you, but I don't care about you. We cannot say, yes, you have a need, you're hungry, but we're not going to meet it for you. Because we're just going to say, "God bless you." That's half of our faith. Today we're talking about marriage. And in marriage, many people, many spouses are suffering because their needs are not being met. How many of you know what we're talking about? So many marriages fall apart. And this shouldn't be for Christians, but Christians are right there behind the world. Our marriages fall apart just as much as the world marriages. Now, if you have been divorced here, we're not here attacking you. We're here teaching the principles, biblical principles, so when you do get married, if you get married, you have these tools to make you ready for a lifelong marriage. I have people coming to me all the time telling me this: "Pastor Alex, I've been through a divorce. Please let me teach the people in your church how bad it is and how they should learn from somebody else's mistakes and not get divorced themselves, because it causes a lot of damage and division." When we first got married, Tanya and I, our marriage wasn't great. For the first 5 years, we fought like crazy. It was on the border of abusive marriage. It wasn't physical, but boy, it was emotionally and everything else. It was just, we had a bad marriage. But before we got married, we said we are not going to get
Divorce.
Divorce. We're not even going to use that word, divorce. So we were stuck. We were stuck in this loveless marriage.
Don't raise your hand, but how many of us today feel stuck? Yeah, but don't raise your
hand. Don't raise your hand.
That's how a lot of marriages we feel, like I'm stuck. You know, there's nothing. He's not changing. She can't change. I can't get through to her. I'm just stuck.
So Tanya actually packed her bags a few times and left. One day, she almost drove to Worthing, Minnesota, because her parents live in Minneapolis. She's like, I'm going to Minneapolis. That's it. I'm done. And then she came back. I think it was the Lord who brought her back. One day, guys, I was praying, and I'm a prayer man, and I pray a lot. And one day I was praying, and God says, stop whining. Go serve your wife. And I came to her, like, spooked, and I said, God just told me to go serve you.
Yes, thank you,
have
you
needs.
Jesus.
And you know what she said? That's exactly what she said. She's like, I was just praying for that. And we were on the opposite side of the house. She was in our bedroom. I was in the basement in my prayer room. And God says, go serve. Don't say, I love you, God. I worship you, God. But your husband is starving. Your wife is starving of natural needs. You know, some of us Christians, we could be so spiritual that we are no earthly good. We're so spiritual. God, we worship you. We love you. We say the right words to God, but we never say those right words to our spouses. What's wrong with us? John says, how can you say you love God who you don't see and your spouse, here it is, right next to you, sleeping in the same bed?
Church, it's time. It's time for us to stop talking about how good life with God is and start doing what the Word of God says. And then the world will see how good of a marriage you can have when you have God. Because, see, these secrets, they're by pleasing, by meeting those needs of your husband, meeting needs of your wife, you're obeying your Jesus. You're obeying God.
I want to also say this. How many of you heard Christians say, and I've said it too, God is all you need. That's all you need is God. Heard that before? Well, God is all you need. Jesus actually said, a man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that's coming out of the mouth of God. He also said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Food will be added unto you. Shelter will be added unto you, right? So it's not that Jesus said, you don't need food. How many of you can say, all you need is Jesus, you don't need any food, don't eat anymore? What will happen? You will die. So why do we apply that to our marriage? All we need is God in our marriage. And it's true, we need God, but we also need food. Don't go hyper-religious on me. You see an unbeliever and their marriage is working, and they don't even have Jesus in their life. And then you see a believer and their marriage is falling apart. Why? Because a believer understands there's natural needs that my spouse has. Bible talks about those needs. And if I meet those needs, it will help my marriage. And if I don't meet those needs, it will destroy our marriage, right? God is all I need. I can't do it without God. But that love of God must overflow into people around me. It must overflow into my wife. I got to love my wife. So today we're going to talk about five needs men need and women need to make them happy, to make them fulfilled, full. Amen? Amen. And they're biblical needs. The first one we already talked about, so we're not going to spend any time on this. Men need sexual fulfillment. Now, we're not talking about spiritual needs, okay? We're talking about natural marriage needs. So don't go saying, you didn't say we need to read the Bible and pray 2 hours a day. I'm going to preach that message later. Actually, preach the message on prayer. Go to our website and check it out. There's like 4 sermons. I mean, they're awesome. Yeah, I still get emails for that. So we're talking about natural needs that will make your marriage work today. Make your relationship better today. Guys need, this was a survey, number one need guys said that they need to be happy and fulfilled in marriage is sexual fulfillment. Amen? Nobody says amen, but amen. Amen. Thank you for that. If your wife is spiritual, guys, she prays a lot, she loves Jesus, she does everything else, but there's no spark in your bedroom, you are miserable. And you are spiritual too, but if there's no spark there, that's a natural need. The first need for a woman, let's go to that.
The second need was affection, non-sexual affection. Like you would be with a child, that's how she wants to be treated. I know it sounds bad, but that's how She wants to be touched. That's how she wants to be approached. I just love you. I want to protect you. I will do anything for you.
So it's a romantic. Woman has a romantic needs. That's kissing, hugging, calling on the phone, texting, compliments. Tell her how she makes you feel like the only whatever in the world. So women need affection. Women need romance. Okay, guys, sometimes we say, for us, romance is like cheesy. Like, you know, romance, sex for us is great, right? Yeah. But for women, romance is what sex is to the guy. So as much as guy wants that sexual fulfillment, wife wants that romance. That's what, is that true, ladies? Amen. Thank you, ladies. I know it's not like that for everybody. I know there's going to be an exception here. And they're going to be like, no. I need more romance, and I'm a guy. Well, you're an exception, dude.
Well, good for your wife.
Good for your wife, yeah. But for the rest of us, you know, normal, well, you're normal too. Jesus, I just digging myself a hole here. All right. So women need affection, that romance, the flowers. 5 years, horrible marriage. Five more years, next 5 years, you know what? We lived, Tanya and I lived in a partner marriage, like we were partners. Like we loved each other, but it was like we're just business partners. And we had the crisis after about 10 years of our marriage, 11th year of our marriage. There was a crisis. I said, baby, I don't want to live like that. I feel like you're my business partner. We do church together. We run a business together. We raise kids together. But there's no, that high that comes from, you know, when we were first dating. That feeling that everybody chases,
that in love,
you know, that ecstasy type, that you wanna. And so we started talking, and she said, "That's what I want." And I said, "That's what I want too." And so the last 4 or 5 years, guys, I've been falling in love with my wife, and more and more and more. And let me tell you that right now, at this moment of our life, we're just about to celebrate our 15th anniversary. Right? And it's better than it's ever been. The love that we have. And I'm telling you, if you quit on your marriage too soon, if you quit too soon, you will never experience this. You'll start, it's like going to kindergarten again.
Yeah.
You were in fourth grade, but you quit. So you go into kindergarten again, and you start and you're over. And so now I find myself thinking in my office, this is weird, guys. I know this, because I used to think this before we got married. Now I find myself thinking, how can I do something to make my wife really happy? Like, maybe I should buy her flowers, maybe I could write her a note, maybe I could send her a selfie, or of this side right here. You know what I mean? I catch myself, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I'm thinking of my wife during the week, like, what can I do for her? That hasn't happened for like 12 years.
And every Friday we have date nights that we established that we needed. Probably in the past 5 years, we said, okay, it's non-negotiable. We're having it. And honestly, every Friday I wait for it. Thursday night, I'm so excited. I'm like a schoolgirl who is going to go on a date with her boyfriend.
I do too.
And those 10 years of not so good of a marriage, it's so much worth it. It's worth it because now we have so many years that we can just honestly be in love and enjoy. But it does take work.
It does.
Work every day.
If you want a killer marriage, you're going to have to work super hard at getting that marriage. If you want to kill your marriage, then don't do anything. Don't come to these services like this. Don't come. Don't worship Jesus. Don't read any books. Don't listen to any podcasts. Just be the way you are and watch what happens. Maybe you'll make it. 50-50. You know, somebody said if 10 guys jumped out of an airplane and knew that 5 parachutes are not going to open, would you jump out of the airplane? Well, marriage is like that. Many people are, it's not 50%, it's like 40% divorce rate. And would you jump into a marriage that almost 50% you are not going to make it? That's why so many people don't want to marry anymore. And I heard that some states now are requiring premarital classes. The states are doing it. Church has been doing it for a long time. And now the states are realizing if you go to premarital classes before you get married, your chances of your marriage succeeding are so much higher.
Second need for guys is recreational companionship. Guys like to have fun. You know, they say that guys grow up about 70% and 30% they stay a child. And I want to say that every grown man has a little boy on the inside of it. They like to play, okay? And so
Amen.
having a good time together, having fun together is so good for a couple. It does bring, especially the husband, so much closer to his wife, doing activities that he enjoys, that are fun for him. And she's enjoying them too.
Last week I said I love motorcycle riding. And Tanya didn't. But because she knew that it's important to me, she says, okay. And same with boating. You didn't really like boating because you're always scared.
Because you like just to go fast. That's why. I like to just lay there. And
I like to go really fast.
Very fast.
But she does it because, you know, when you're in a boat all day, it's your family. Guess what you do? You get closer. Where do you spend 8 hours or 6 hours together in one small, like 25 square foot or 30 square foot place? On a boat. You can't go anywhere. I mean, except just a few feet in the water, but that's, you know. And so find, married couples, find places that you can enjoy together. Yeah. And for a guy, ladies, let me tell you, for a guy, it's important to play. And we love to go shooting. And if your man is into shooting, well, maybe get earmuffs and go shooting with him. If he's into car racing, maybe go watch him or something.
You know, it is important to find something that both of you can enjoy. So if it's his favorite and you're okay with it, because if you're hating it, it's going to come through. It's going to sip through and it's going to ruin his experience too. So like you have to find something that both of you can enjoy it. And so the second need, that's where we stopped last time, was
for a woman
was intimate conversation. And I know that as soon as we started talking about intimate conversation, a lot of guys went like, okay, this is so boring. I so don't need this. It's not my need. I am not interested. Well, guys, I hear you. Most men are not good. My husband is pretty good at talking. Pretty good at talking. I'll give you that. But most men are not. It's just especially intimately talking. Like, ew, you know, all touchy-feely and our problems. And a lot of times talking involves problems in marriage. You know, the wife wants to talk about what's going on. She's upset about something. And so he's like, talking always leads us to fights. Talking means I'm going to be in trouble, so I don't want to do none of that.
Yep.
It's not my thing. So what if she told you, well, sexual intimacy is really not my thing, honey. You know, I don't really need it that much. Once a month, I'm fine, and then you're on your own. You would say, honey, what do you mean you don't need it? It's about you. I need it. Well, but I don't need it. You know, I'm not good at it. I don't want it. But baby, I need it, you know. I need it every few days, you know. I mean, I need it. And so it's a very need that you are the only one who can fulfill. You're the only man who you want. You don't want nobody else going and talking intimately to your wife.
If you don't want your wife to have a guy friend to talk to, right, that would be wrong. You better do the job talking. You need to. That's very important. And I know we have to make ourselves to do that. Because I'm telling you, as soon as Tanya sometimes starts talking, I go glossy eyes and I'm lost. Like I'm somewhere else. And I have to look, focus.
That's somewhere else.
Focus what she's, what is she trying to say? Yeah, it's my phone or it's my computer. Or I'm like. and guys, what I realized, as soon as she sees you go this, she disconnects and she's like.
It's more than
you
just,
didn't fulfill the need.
It's more
Remember,
than disconnect.
If your brother is hungry, what do? Give him food.
That's
if your wife is hungry, if she has a need, give it to her. Ladies, if your husband is hungry and you know where he gets hungry, if you know what I mean, give him something to eat.
And that is exactly how it feels. She is hungry. I have a little story that when we were married about 5 years, I think that's when everything happened. In our communications, and the problem is we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to talk effectively without criticizing each other, without putting each other down, without making each other feel like idiots or making him feel like an idiot. But in our marriage, he's the stronger one. So whenever we would talk, he would just overpower me. And then as soon as he calls me turtle, because as soon as I feel threat,
she hides
I hide
in her
for
shell.
My life. And then I'm not talking. And he would even say something, talk to me. But that's it. I can't because I know that, you know, another comment is going to hurt me even more. So I would just lock down and I would never talk. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I had so much inside of me. I had so much that was not said, so much that bothered me, so much that needed to come out, but there was no outlet. And one day I had this psychotic experience. And the more I talked to ladies, I was not the only one. I went outside, I just started crying. He was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. So he was walking behind me. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I go outside to our front door. I open the door, go outside. It's cold. It's winter or fall. And I just start screaming like a psycho woman. Like if this was a movie, you would say she's crazy. She needs to go on a fourth floor in Yankton. I knew that I sound crazy. I knew that something is really, really wrong with me, and I cannot stop it. I'm just screaming, just like that. Like, and he came out. He was like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Go, just leave." And that's about that time when we went.
We went counseling. We had to get some counseling, and we were pastors at that time, guys. Mm-hmm. We're pastors, and pastors need counseling too. So what do you mean you don't need? So we went counseling, and this counselor said, "Man, you're too bold." It was a guy. He said, you're too bold to me. You need to bring it down, like five notches or so. And she looked at Tanya and she said, and you're just hiding. You're just a turtle. You're just head in the sand hoping somehow it's going to be okay. You need to bring it up about five notches.
You need to speak up. He said, you need to stand up for yourself. Speak up. Speak that mind. What is he going to do to you? Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And it was, that emotional hurt. I was afraid.
And I'm fast on
my
words, and I can come up with stories and remember things really mm-hmm. quickly. I have a great memory. And Tanya would just lock up, and she would be like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say." And so he said, "Come on, you guys, this is going to mess up your marriage. She needs to speak." And he's like, "You need to let her speak." And so that's when things started turning around.
We just started balanced it out.
Every time I wanted to like lash out and attack, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Hold yourself, let her speak. Come on, speak, speak, speak."
So it's a very real, it's a real need, guys. A very real need for her to be able to talk to you, and not just talk to you and you're on your phone, but talk to you and know that you're listening and you're talking back. She wants to know your heart. You know, in Proverbs 31, it says that her husband's heart is safe with her. We are created like that. We want your heart. We want to keep it safe. And so when you close it from us, we feel like we're withholding something. You're not giving us a chance to be a wife. And you want your heart, in with us. You want for us to keep your heart safe because we are good at heart issues. You're good at, practical, logical. Yes, yes. We are good at heart issues. Like when you feel something, you can't even put your finger on it. And I will tell you, what is it that you're feeling, honey? You want to talk
Amen.
About it?
Amen.
And so today we're going to teach you really fast just ways to communicate effectively. You can do it ineffectively where you leave and you're like, that was a fight. Let's not do that ever again. If you do it effectively, you can have intimate conversations. And guys, you might also enjoy it too. So there's some friends of good communication. Ask questions and then answer them honestly.
Just like the guy in a video clip.
Why are you being psychotic? No, ask questions. If you want, the other day we were Super Bowl. I didn't come to the party. I don't like football. I just, 4 hours of doing nothing. So I stayed home. I watched the musical instead. But I was like, okay, he's going to come. And it happens to me all the time. He's going to be so excited. He's going to be talking about this game. And I'm going to have no idea what he's talking about. So last minute and a half, I turned it on. I saw the whole fall and the whole,
interception.
Interception. And so when he came home, I knew he's going to be talking about it, how crazy it was and how crazy the score was. And so we had something to talk about. So I was like, how about that game? Oh, my goodness. And, but you have to ask questions. You can't just sit there and like, we have nothing to talk about. It is true. It is true. A lot of times you go on a date, you sit down and you're eating and you're like, there's nothing to talk about. I don't want to talk about kids because, he's going to turn off right away. So just ask questions and answer them honestly.
Another thing that I do is I ask her, so how was your day? And that's all you need to ask, guys, because a woman will open up and the conversation will continue to go by itself.
Ladies.
I say this, is there anything new happened today? Talk to anybody? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah. And I actually now enjoy it.
Yeah, you get all the news without watching the news. Yeah.
And you get all the drama without actually being in that drama. You know what I mean?
And ladies, for you, it's not effective to ask, how was your day? Because what is he going to say?
Fine.
Good. So that's not effective. So this is what you do. You say, how was your day? He says, good. You say, tell me more about it. And then you put the ball back in his court and let him come up with that answer. Tell me more about it. What was so good about it? What happened? Tell me more about it. So whenever your man is giving you that answer, fine, good, tell me more about it.
Amen, amen.
Second friend is find and become an expert in their favorite topics that they like to talk about. You know, when we were dating, we talked on the phone for hours and hours and hours, and literally sometimes my ear would like hurt, and sometimes I would hear him snore. Like I can hear he's snoring. He's not talking anymore. He fell asleep. But we didn't want to. We didn't want to.
It happened like once. Come on.
No, it happened.
Didn't happen much.
You know, because we just wanted to spend time together, and we felt like we knew each other inside out. We were so compatible. We were a perfect match. And then,
until we got married.
Until we got married. And then we found out who was lying. And so, you know, how many of you know that we change, people change? The older you get, you change. So for him to assume that I'm the same young girl that he married would be a mistake. And for me to assume that he's just the same guy that I met is a mistake. So we have to keep growing, have to keep getting to know each other, keep tap on those things that are their favorite things. And, you know, maybe football is not my favorite thing to talk about, but there's other things we do like talking. We love talking about church. We love talking about helping people. And we love talking about, you know, training and growing leaders. That's, you know, one thing we enjoy talking about. And so make a list. Here's my list of five things I enjoy talking about. Here's my five things I enjoy talking about. And then see, okay, now that I have no interest, like shopping, seriously, fashion, you know, for guys. But maybe there is something on her list and you're like, ooh, that I can even look something I can Google, you know. Just, guys, it does take extra work. I understand it. Great marriage takes work. It's not easy. But it's worth it. It is worth it.
Now let's talk about enemies of great conversation. Now let's go quickly through them.
Well, okay, you gotta balance out the conversation. So again, not just her talking and he's listening. You gotta balance it out. She gets pleasure out of hearing your heart, and then undivided attention. Nothing there to take his attention. So the enemies would be things not to do is demands. Don't ever make demands. It's okay to complain. It's okay to say that, you know, this and this bothers me. I'm bothered by this, and this is how I feel about that situation. That's okay. As soon as you start saying, you need to do this, you have to do this, your conversation is going to take wrong turn. It's not going to finish well. Make requests. Say, I wish, you know, we could do this and that. I wish you did this and that. That's a request. Nobody can say, no, stop wishing that. Don't wish that. You can't do that. But once you say, do that, do this, the person says, don't tell me what to do. Don't control me. That's control. And whenever there's control in the family, that is not a good family. That is not a good marriage.
The next thing, enemy of conversations, is disrespect. When a person says something like this, that's stupid. That's dumb, man. How would you come up with that?
I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, I can't believe you just said that. You just totally cut a person off. They shut down. That's a no-no in conversation, right?
Right, right.
The next one is angry outbursts. Guys, ladies, let me teach you this one principle that will save you a lot of problems. Whoever yells first in an argument loses the argument. Whoever yells first in an argument loses an argument, even if you were right. If you were right and you yelled at your wife, that's it. You lost the argument. You come back in a couple of days. So you might want to learn to control that anger. And I know when we get married, somebody said, you don't know what demons you got till you get married. Because you never knew you had so much anger inside of you till you got married.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have to work on that. And Bible says, put away wrath, anger, evil speaking. Okay, put that away. You're going to have to practice. You're going to have to learn that. Because remember, when you yell in your relationship, you lose. You lose, even if you were right. How that sucks. And I used to make that mistake so many times till I'm like, stop yelling because you're just losing these arguments. Mm-hmm. She shuts down and it's over.
Yeah, it's totally okay to say, I'm very upset right now. I am angry. You see how that sounds so much better versus you are this and that, and you start criticizing person's character. Versus talking about the problem. We have this problem. We need to resolve it. Both adults understand it. But as soon as you start criticizing their intentions, that they're evil person, they meant to do this because they're irresponsible, they're lazy, you start labeling them, that conversation is not going to get you anywhere.
Next is dwelling on mistakes and past mistakes.
Oh, Lord.
Some of us are good at recalling all the mistakes that your
spouse
made. Can
you remember that girl you talked to 10 years ago? It still bothers me. You know, just let it go. That, where do you go from here? That's crazy. Remember that 7 years ago you did this and you did that. How is the conversation? What is he supposed to do? Apologize again for that? I mean, come on, let's grow up now. Let's grow up and make our conversations into something that be productive and we can actually solve problems.
Okay, let's go back to the guys. Oh, that took forever. I'm just being honest, guys. The lady is like, let me throw something at him.
Guys, okay, let me tell you this. If your wife's dad lived with you in the same house.
Oh, no.
With a shotgun.
How would you treat your with a shotgun, wife?
And he would be watching you every step, every move, how you're treating his little girl. Well, let me tell you something. Before she is your wife, she is God's daughter. She is God's child. And he is watching over her. He is watching his over little girl, how you're treating her. And there's a scripture that tells us that she is a very fragile vessel. Bible compares us to vessels. And he says that the woman is a very fragile, like a crystal. And so if you return her to me, God says, all chipped and all cracked, I will not hear your prayers. Something to think about. So like this stuff is boring for you. But this is your girl. This is her need.
That's her hunger area, and we have to fulfill it. We have to. We're the only ones. Okay, the third need of a guy to make him happy is, and this is, ladies, it's going to sound worldish, but he wants his wife to be attractive. Amen.
Oh,
thank you.
That's so not Christian.
That's so not Christian? Yeah. You know, guys don't marry girls because of their heart.
What?
They don't see their heart. I know. You guys go for the best-looking girl they can get.
Girls, that's a compliment. Like, when he married you, you were the best he could find. You were the best. He looked around and he said, she is the one.
She's the best
for me.
Yeah. And so sometimes when people get married, ladies, and I'm going to step carefully here. I come home sometimes, and I'm not talking about my relationship, but just in general, and she's still wearing those same yoga pants that she wore to sleep, and I'm like, did you even brush your teeth today? It's 5:00 p.m.
And then I come to him with that, not me, of course, with that, you know, unbrushed teeth. My hair is all a mess, you know, makeup that I didn't wipe off last night. And it's all, do you love me, honey? Do you love me? Well, give me something to work with, woman.
For a guy, it's important that his woman looks her best. And
her
it doesn't
best,
mean
yeah.
her best. And it doesn't mean that she has to be like a model on TV or you know. It just means she needs to look her best. It's important to guys that she looks beautiful, that her hair doesn't have food in it, you know, and Fruit Loops. And right? It's important. And I know it sounds, flashy. But it's important for a guy. And if you wanted to ask your man, does he care how you look at home? Go ahead and do that. He wants you to look good.
In fact, I even advise when you buy your clothes, because you, how much of you see of yourself? He's the one who has to look at you. So I'll come home and I'll be like, you know, try stuff on. What do you think? And if he doesn't like something, I just go return it. Why? I mean, even if I like it, but he doesn't like it. He's the one who has to watch me wearing it. So...
everywhere we go, guys, we see work, we see beautiful people, you know, they dress up. Listen, don't have unreasonable expectation, because some guys, and I was that guy. I was always on my wife, you know, you need to look a certain way. And I'm telling you, for 10 years, it was horrible, because I wanted her to be something she's not. Now I love her the way she is, but it's important that your wife looks good.
Amen. Amen. Moving on to the ladies' needs.
Yep.
Third need is honesty and openness. Honesty and openness. Have a policy of radical honesty in your marriage. Radical honesty, guys. If a girl flirted with you, tell her. Whoa. Okay.
Whoa.
A lot of times we hear this. This is what you hear, especially from guys. You know, this happened. This affair happened, you know, so many years ago. We were just still dating. It doesn't matter. I don't need to tell her. It's going to break her heart. Tell her. You don't want to live in a union, in a marriage, being one. You will never be one if you have secrets from each other.
Yep.
You will never be one if there's something that you can never mention to her and to him, ladies too. So radical, radical honesty.
We started practicing that halfway into our marriage, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've struggled with lust, guys. You know, you think you get married and that's it, lust goes away. One day I was driving at work and you know, in the summer you have these women running around exercising, you know, and my head would be like this, and I'm married, and my buddy said to me, hey, every girl drove by, ran by us, you went like this. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm a Christian. This shouldn't happen. And you know what? Until we started talking honesty, we said, come on. Tanya asked me one day, she said, do you think that girl is pretty? And I was like, no. She's like, just be honest, man. Just tell me, do you think she's pretty? And I found this, yeah, I think she's pretty. And it opened the conversation. And then I would ask her, do you think that guy's good looking? You're like, no, not that guy. But that guy, yeah. And you know what happened? I became open, and that lust, see, when you hide something, when you keep sin in the darkness, when you keep temptation in darkness, it has control over you. Yeah. When you expose it, Bible says, when you bring it to the light, Satan has no room. Yeah. Guys, we are created like this. When we see a beautiful car, what do, guys? Whoa, that's a nice car. When we see a beautiful woman, what do we do? Wow, she's beautiful. And see, it's okay to say that she is beautiful, and that's it. But if you're like, no, I'm not looking. Well, maybe just a little. No. Well, maybe just a little, you know. Then you're harboring that thing inside of you. Set yourself free. Some of you need to have these conversations.
Yes. Ladies, in that, well, guys too, in honesty, your reaction, your respond is very, very important. Because I tell you what, if he comes home and he says, well, you know, the secretary or coworker flirted with me and blah, blah. And if you're like, what? I knew she's no good. I knew she's just... That's it. This is the last time you've ever heard about anything that's in his heart.
You know what causes adultery? You know what adultery is? Cheating on a spouse. It starts with a crush. Do married people have crushes? Yes.
Not Christians.
Yeah, Christians have. Christians are... Guys, we're all the same. I mean, really, we have the same bodies. And so one day, I was struggling with this crush. And you probably did too.
We've both had our
crushes. We both. And I didn't know how to get rid of it. And God says, go tell your wife. I fought with that. I was like, you devil, you're trying to destroy my marriage, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't devil. It was God saying to me, hey, go tell your wife. I went and told her. And guess what? As soon as I exposed that secret crush, whatever it was.
Yeah, attraction to
attraction to a woman. That lust or whatever. And she was, I know it was hard for her, but she was like, okay, let's pray. Let's ask God to forgive you and set you free from this. As soon as I opened myself up, guess what? It went away. I know that person. I was like, I can't believe I had a crush on them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the respond is very, very important.
So radical openness.
Passwords. We know each other passwords.
Yep.
My phone Facebook. Is always, please look at it. I encourage snoop around. Guys, if those who have nothing to hide, hide nothing.
Yep.
And with the Facebook and all that stuff going on, I'm serious. Like, no passwords. We share our passwords. Even if they're not the same, a lot of times our password is the same. But if it's not the same, he knows mine. I know his, and snooping is encouraged. Very radical honesty, very, very important.
Amen. You want to go with your marriage long term, have that honesty. Ladies, if you have a crush, and you do too, in our experience, we've seen more women cheat on their husbands than men, like way more. I don't know what it is, but a lot of, in our culture, a lot of that is going on. And a lot of it happens to professing Christians. Honesty. You have a crush on somebody, ladies, go and tell him. And guys, respond right.
Yeah.
Say, okay, as a pastor of our home, because guys, you're a pastor of your home, and your wife is associate pastor of your home. You say, okay, I receive your confession, I bring it before the Lord, I release it, I pray for your forgiveness, and for God to make us one, and that's it, move on.
And the closeness that brings you to, especially for women. I it's so good for me to know that I can trust him. I can trust him, and everything he says is the truth, and he's not hiding anything, no matter how hurtful the truth is, he's still sharing it with me. There is just this beautiful bond.
Amen. Next point for guys is admiration, okay? That means be his biggest cheerleader, ladies. How do you talk about your husband? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He always gets his numbers wrong, you know? Be his biggest admirer. Be his cheerleader. Be his biggest fan. Don't criticize him every single time. You know, at work, people respect him. At church, people respect him. But when he comes home, you don't know what you're talking about, fool. You old goat. Sit in your place before I... You know, guys need that. Guys need respect. Women need love. So it's important. And some of you are not married here today. And listen, it's good for you to learn this because you're getting prepared without even knowing it.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great marriage because this is being put in your mind right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Next one for women is family commitment. Talk about family commitment.
Family commitment is a big one. And we actually touched upon it a little bit at live groups. It's very important for me as a mom to see my husband. And the other day it was so beautiful after Valentine's party. My daughter came and I found out that she had something like drama. She didn't get a Valentine from somebody.
She wanted a Valentine's. You know how in school they give you cards and candies? She wanted a Valentine's from a certain boy. Everybody else gave it to her. Give her a card. But that boy.
But who did I find it out from? I found out from my husband. And to me, there's nothing better to know this bond between a father and a daughter, that she would go to him with such detail, with such emotion, and she would share that with him. And that's something he had to build. And I was like, there's just something about it when you see your husband taking that charge, taking that initiative and teaching your children. He always talks to them in the car. I know they always, Mom, we talked about this today. He instills those principles, those biblical principles, truth into
them. When I drive in a car with my kids, I try to make sure that we have no silent moment. We're always talking about this subject, that subject, politics. I become an atheist sometime in the car and try to, destroy their faith. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I use all the atheist questions on my kids. So my kids will hear it not from a college professor someday, the first time, but they hear it from the dad. So I become, who created God? Well, you know, where God come from? And I push the subject and make them think. And we have these awesome conversations. You know, women say this. Tanya said this. It's very sexy play with your children.
Yep,
she tells me that. And I'm like, whoa, really? When I play with my kids, it turns you on.
You're hitting both birds at the same time.
Yeah.
Investing into your children and fulfilling a need.
So that's a woman's need. Moms, is that true? Yeah, when your husband plays with, spends time.
You know
with
how it feels? It feels like, I'm not the only one. He is pouring into them. He is taking care. I'm not the only one in this family. Oh, burden off my shoulders.
Amen. Amen. Number five for guys, and I'm going to go quickly through this, is domestic support. And I know in our culture, two parents usually work, two spouses usually work, husband and wife. So it's a little different in the homes when one person works. But for guys, it's very important that our house is clean. When we come home, guys, how many of you would say it's important? Yeah, it's important your house is clean. And there was a season in our life when we had so many little kids. I kind of demanded. I said, Tanya, I want the house clean. I want my office clean because, you know, we share an office at home and we have different tables. And you should see her table. It's like, I mean, it's a mess.
It's my
and it's getting worse,
mess.
Guys. It started like this, and it's getting worse. It's getting built by each month. It's bigger.
I know
my
where
office clean,
is.
Nothing on it. Everything is in order, and so my friend Tom Stammen, how many of you know him? He said, you know what? You need to hire a helper to help you clean it this season of your life. And you know, the best thing we did, we hired somebody. She came every other week, and we paid her very little, minimum. And she cleaned our home, helped us out. So instead of having these fights with my wife, we have three kids. They're all small. We just hired somebody.
It was a nice season.
Yeah, $100 a month. $100 a month was way better to spend. So that's two meals sometimes in a good restaurant. Three meals, whatever. You know, and that saved their marriage. So maybe don't go eat out so much. And if you can do that, if you maybe not everybody can do that. But for us, we were able to do that, and it helped us. Right now, we don't have that person because we're able to handle it ourselves. I help out. Kids help out right now. Our kids are big now. So domestic support.
And then last one for ladies is financial support. And again, I know that, you know, most couples, both spouses work. But a group of people was asked, if at the altar, you're getting ready to exchange vows, and then your spouse says, or your fiance says, oh, listen, before we do this, in this situation, in my marriage, I don't want to work. I want to be the one that's...
If a man says that.
No. Anybody. If fiance says that. Is that okay with you? And he said, how many of you would still go through the marriage, with the wedding? Most men raised their hands. Most women didn't. For a guy, he's like, you know, that's fine. That's fine. It's not a big deal. For her, it's not that, okay, so a lot of times a wife, and we know couples like that, will make more than a husband. But she needs to know that he will put himself out there. He's going to go and he's going to work hard. Even if he can't provide as much as she does, he's going to go and he's going to do his best. He's going to be working hard. Something in that gives her security, gives her that we're going to be okay as long as he's hardworking.
Biblically speaking, the responsibility of a provider is put on a man, okay? And although in our culture, sometimes women will make more, she wants to know that he will do everything he can that he would provide for the family. The worst thing a woman can do is watch her husband not work and play video games. It will drive her crazy. Now, if he works and if he, you know, wants to play video games, you know, that's okay. I mean, if that's the way he, you know, recharges, that's fine. But if he doesn't work, it's the worst thing. It drives, we know a couple from a long time ago. He didn't work and played games, and it just was tearing their marriage apart. And she made good money, but it was just tearing the marriage apart. And then he started cheating because he was bored at home. That's very important. So, guys, these are the natural needs that will help your marriage. Bible says, if your brother is hungry, give him something to eat. If he doesn't have any clothes, give him something to wear. Jesus said, when you do it for the least of these, I would like to say our spouses are not the least of these. They're the most in our life, really. Then if we are to do it for the least of these, how much more are we to do it to our spouses? How much more are we to make sure that their natural needs are met? I think it's a responsibility of a Christian. Bible says if a man does not work, he shouldn't eat. Whoa, that's radical. That's Bible. It's important for us to meet the needs of our family. And the reason we had this small series, 2-week series, is so you would have a great marriage.
Yeah. Become an expert at meeting those needs. Meet them regularly. Don't do it once and say, she was still not happy. I did it once. You get hungry every day. You get thirsty every day. So same with her, same with him. Meet them regularly. Enjoy meeting those needs. Learn to like it. Learn to like it. And you're going to have a great marriage.
Amen. We're going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask Tanya to pray. If you're sitting with your spouse, join hands. If you're not, just pray for your future or spouse. We're going to pray right now. We're going to ask God to bless your marriages. I know next week we're going to go back to the roots. So it's going to be for everybody. But today, I just want God to do something. I want God to heal, to restore, to bring out that love, that passion, that fire. Let's pray.
Father, I thank you for every marriage, for every union, the two souls that you connected in this place, Father. Lord, right now, remind them what is it that they love about each other. They already know what the things they don't like. Holy Spirit, bring to memory right now those things that they cherish about each other. Those things that they enjoy about each other, Lord. Reignite that passion, that fire that attracted them to each other when they came together. Reignite that, Lord, so that 20, 30 years later, they could say, I'm still so in love with you. Father, I pray that you touch those hearts that are hurt right now. Touch those wounds that were inflicted, that we inflicted upon each other, God, without knowing or
yes,
on
Lord.
Purpose. Father, married or not married, Father, I pray that your Holy
Heal,
Spirit
God.
Settles on every heart right now and heal it in the name of Jesus. We cannot fully love until we know that we're loved by you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Could you turn off the lights? I want to talk to you for just a second. Do you know Jesus? Is he the Lord of your life? If you don't, the reason you're here this morning is because God brought you here. Somebody invited you. Somebody prayed for you. And you're here in the house of God. And you know what? I don't want to leave here without giving you an opportunity to be right with God, to connect back with God. Bible says this: if we believe that Jesus is Lord and we confess him with our mouth, we shall be saved. God loves you so much. He wants to save you. He wants to come in into your heart. Maybe you've let him in a long time ago. Maybe you backslidden and you're far from him right now. Or maybe you never gave your life to Jesus and you want to do that this morning. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, would you raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus? One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I want to live for you. From this moment on, I'm a new creation. I'm a follower of Christ. I live for him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.